Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now and visit WynnBET.com to start winning today. And we're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head on over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone and join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And finally, make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Hi-de-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 143. Dedications. I messed up last time. I dedicated it to the last episode to the stupid Phoenix Suns. What I really meant to dedicate it to the coolest two-year-old in the world who had his birthday last weekend, and hopefully he had a good birthday. Sending it out to him because I know who his dad is, and I know, you know, it's going to be a struggle in life. So hopefully he at least had a good birthday. So no chuckles at all, I hear, which is good. Oh, there's a chuckle. I thought someone was getting mad at me, but anyhow, thank you for coming to this here podcast. I would be your host. I am known as the Iron Turtle, Jeff Fox. We've got an action-packed show as per usual for you this week. We are going to break down an amazing, my co-host told me before we went on the air to remember to say, this is a very exciting fight card coming up. He's a UFC hype man to the bone. So we're going to do the UFC event as per usual. We're also going to throw in a couple picks for Eagle FC, which would be Khabib Nurmagomedov's promotion, which he runs. They're running an event on Friday with a bunch of UFC has-beens. Sorry, but that's the truth. So we're going to give you picks, or Dan, the aforementioned co-host, is going to give you a couple picks for that. And then we'll be on our merry way to make money out in this crazy world of MMA gambling. No, spoiler alert, there's no super live plus 300 dogs, that at least on my end this week. Maybe my co-host has a super live plus 300 dog, but no Andre Petroski's on this card, at least to my eyes. So let's bring in this co-host who I keep referring to. Hopefully he's on the line. You can call him Danny, you can call him Dan, Daniel, you can call him Gumby. A lot of people call him Gumby, or they call him Daniel Freeland. Hello.
Hey, what's up? Yeah.
Hey.
This fight card, you know, not spectacular, but I will say a lot of questions that could be answered here, which are all kind of interesting. And I don't know, a handful of the fights that don't have questions to be answered at least have like prospects who are fun to watch.
Yep. No, it's very true. If you're a degen or a MMA nerd or both, more than likely, if you're listening to this, you're both of those things, then every fight card has at least a few things that are intriguing to you. And this one obviously is no exception to that. It has the most exciting fighter in the UFC headlining it, for one thing, right?
I thought you were going to say the most exciting fighter in the UFC is on the card, because one of the ones who I and our good friend Superfan Jong happen to think is one of the actually most exciting prospects right now is actually on the card.
Yes, it is true. It is true. Aren't we teasing all you people about what's to come up? So, yeah, it's only 11 fights, which I appreciate. I was able to knock out my article for sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I'm almost totally done it because there's only it only took me half the time as it usually takes because it's only an 11 fight card. Plus, not sure if it's the same for you, Dan, but going through it, I didn't really hesitate in many of my picks. I was pretty sure of a lot of my picks, and some of them ended up being underdogs, which is always a nice bonus when I look at the lines after I decide who I think is going to win.
Yeah, there were two or three fights that I think I sweated on. And one I just am never going to feel good about, period. But yeah, there's a couple I don't feel great about.
Yeah, it's. I think I had at least one where I don't want to pick either person, but I have to. It's my job.
I know exactly the fight you're talking about.
It's my job, so I had to do it.
And, and one of the people who I'm guessing is in that fight happens to be on the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week.
Oh, there we go. Our Top Turtle. For a while there, you were waiting till later in the podcast, but you jammed it in early this time.
Let's get it right in the beginning.
May as well. Why? Yeah, exactly. Why bury the lead? This is just a hype show for Dan's other podcast, the Top Turtle MMA podcast, and his other podcast, the Prelim Primer podcast. A lot of P's in that one. Lucky I have my whatever that thing's called on the mic that takes care of your P's when you're popping your P's. I don't know what it's called. You know what I'm talking about?
The pop filter.
The pop filter, is that what it's called?
It's called the fancy, pop filter.
That's way too fancy for me. That's why I forgot what it was called. Anything of note that we should discuss before we give these degens their money making plays for this week? Anything pop through your news filters or social media feeds that we should speak of?
No, I think a couple of fights got solidified, but most of them were already rumored anyway. So I wouldn't consider any of it real news.
And you can read all the, this is me shoving my plug in early. You can read all of the fight announcements and whatnot on my MMA site / newsletter, moneymma.substack.com. At least I try to make it at least weekly, just to make a big list of all the fights that have been booked. And I still have a bunch. I'm going through my saved articles and there's still a bunch I have to get out there to you people. Cause it seems to either rains or it rains. When it rains, it pours is what I'm trying to say with fight announcements. They all seem to come rushing on at once. And then we have a dry spell. So they're all rushing in at this point is what I'm trying to spit out, but I'm not a very good talker, which is luckily I am hosting a podcast.
Can I suggest a name for this podcast before we get that to the end here?
Yes. You just said the alt name. Yes.
You just said that you had to shove your plug in. So I would suggest that you
that's
use
been said before
shoving my plug in as
an alt plug in. Shove my plug. Someone's mom must not listen to the podcast anymore.
The words came out of your mouth. No. And it was really hard for me not to just out loud laugh. So
the roles have been reversed. Someone else is working blue, which means I'm the one that has to sound smart now on the show.
Yeah, you're
supposed to be the one that sounds smart, and I'm supposed to be the one that tries to get you to laugh at stupid jokes. But Dan is making this a bizarre episode of the podcast. So, all right, there's no other news that I can think of. You know, just. One of the reasons why I don't see as much news is I have stopped. I've taken bjpenn.com out of my news feed. I don't know why it was there. Good move.
That site blows.
It just annoys. It's just the most annoying articles. It's all Chael Sonnen says this. Big John McCarthy says that. It's all the worst people that you can't that have no credibility to me any longer. Somehow Big John has gone into the Chael Sonnen bin, but I think that's a fair spot from the way he is at this point.
Yeah.
Just former bad takes all around.
Former UFC lackeys who are now Bellator shrills. That's
basically just a coincidence, but they just happen to have really bad takes and people like to quote them as news sources for things, which is and Brendan Schaub too. Obviously, you miss the Brendan Schaub stuff if you don't follow BJ Penn too. So, you know, getting the negativity out of my life, Dan.
Dude, BJPenn.com is, I'm going to be honest, I'm pretty sure I stopped following them a decade ago because they
I don't
bad.
Know why.
They've been bad for so long, dude.
I guess I had FOMO. I was going to miss on this breaking news story, but then I like realized, like, you don't, like, I don't consider them a source when I see things anyway. So why do I even bother following what they're saying? So I
just they're prime for like somebody's social media account said this and then calling it a prepared statement.
Very, very true. All right. Enough complaining. This is the I was talking with a person online about how he was saying how he hates people. Some individuals are okay, but he hates people all around. And I said, that is the MMA gambling podcast ethos. We hate people. Some individuals are okay, but all in all.
But Macy Barber isn't, so.
Oh, God. This is not a Macy Barber podcast. Not this week. Soon, though. She's fighting in a couple months, right?
Oh, God, again?
And, well, don't worry. Erin Blanchfield is fighting before that. She's on the next pay-per-view, so.
That's good. That's yes. Good. We need more Erin Blanchfield in our lives.
We do. We do. All right. Let me tell you about WynnBET before we get down to business, because WynnBET is where you can get down to the business of winning money. Plus, they're also giving away a trip this week. So let me tell you about it. Make sure to get down on the WynnBET $50 win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WynnBET Casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Plus, listen to this. Win a golf trip to win Las Vegas PGA Championship. Bet $100 plus on golf this week. I think there's like some, there's always golf every week. I can't remember what this week's is, but if you bet $100+ on golf this week and be entered to win, you will be entered to win a golf trip to win Las Vegas. Promotion ends May 22nd. So hopefully you got this in your ears in time. If you're subscribed to our direct feed, MMA Gambling Podcast feed, you definitely will have this in your ears in time. So make sure you get in on that. There's so much to choose from over at WynnBET. And all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com to get started. Obviously, listen to the Sports Gambling Podcast Network's Golf Gambling Podcast if you want to know where to bet those $100. You don't just want to throw $100 just to enter the contest. You actually want your $100 to win you some money too over at WynnBET. So offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now on to Sleeper, where I'm going to, we'll see how good my co-host is in a minute or so here. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. All the SGPN boys definitely do. It is a game changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over under. For example, a number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. Main reason I'm excited and all the people over here at SGPN are excited about this Sleeper app is they have over under. And it's the only app where I can, or you, listener, can join your buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see, you can see, and copy my friend's picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Nothing and talk trash, obviously. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Actually, don't stop. Listen to us. Actually, you can do both. You can listen to us and download at the same time. I'm sure you can multitask. Have fun with your friends and make some money. Now I'm going to throw to my co-host without any warning. Give us your Sleeper play that you like, Dan.
I got to get two props. I'll take Jason Tatum's the over on points. That Which dude just that? Can't. See, I don't have it in front of me.
Yes, I was hoping to catch you, and I did. Yes,
I'm gonna guess Dan's it's high. Ready. I'm gonna guess it's high 20s. That dude's gonna probably. Crack, but he's gonna crack. He's gonna crack 30 easy on Thursday, and then I'll take over on Robert Williams the III's rebounds.
You're thinking this a bounce back for the Celtics.
Yeah, I'm big on the Celtics for Thursday. There ain't no way they're dropping 2 in a row to the Heat. And I saw a line on Robert Williams' rebounds that said 5.5, which seemed what? Criminal. Yeah,
expecting him not to play? Is that what?
I don't think so. But like in the last couple of games of the Buck series, he only had 4 and 5. But the first game in the Heat series, he had 9. So If it was 5.5, it was 6.5, I'd still take the over. If it was 7.5, I'd take the over. So, Robert Williams, the third's rebounds, hit that. And Jason Tatum, I mean, he's going to put up a 40 spot. So,
wow.
Etch it in stone.
Well, that's why Gumby is riding shotgun with me here, because I can throw to him without warning that I'm going to need picks. And I had a feeling you knew that this was going to happen, Dan, because you always have picks. Or at least you're a degenerate that always has picks on the brain. So that could
be too bad. It's too bad you didn't tell me a couple of weeks ago that I had to make picks for the Suns. I would have bet under on everything.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I let Dan make the picks, because NBA is stupid and everyone knows that the NBA is stupid. So no point watching or gambling on it. You can listen to the podcast that we have on NBA, though. All right. Plus, on your mobile phone, join our listener group over on Sleeper. It is sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad, which obviously is the best squad to be on, and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Terms and conditions apply. Use Sleeper's, and then basically check out Sleeper's terms of use for details, and have some fun. Win some money. All right. Let's have some fun. We're having lots of fun already, because we always have fun on the show, whether we win money or not. But more often than not, we do win money, and we're going to get you some money for this weekend's event that we're so excited about that we haven't even said the name of it yet. We teased you on it. It's called UFC Fight Night Holm versus Vieira. UFC Vegas 55 is what we're up to. Want to hear the alt titles? UFC Fight Night 206, UFC on ESPN Plus 64, UFC Vegas 55. Why we need, four different titles, I don't know, but there you go. This is an ESPN Plus card. So prelims, ESPN Plus, main card, ESPN Plus. Guess who forgot to check out the times again for it? Do you have them on the top?
I believe I saw, if I'm not mistaken, the MMA gods listened to me, and I believe I saw a 4 p.m. start time.
Right. This is like...
Because I complained about it last week, so I immediately got exactly what I wanted.
Me forgetting to check the start times is, it's my thing. It's like, for listeners of the SGPN's MLB gambling podcast, Malcolm's thing is always forgetting to break down the Mets game, because it's in, I think it's his favorite team. So he has it a different part on his screen. So he always forgets to break down the Mets until one of his co-hosts tells him. So my thing is not knowing start times. 4 p.m. Dan is right. Eastern. And for the prelims, 7 p.m. for the main card, and it's only 11 fights, which is nice. Like I complained about last podcast, I know why, because they have TV contracts and they want to fill out the time, but like it's the only sport where they think they have to go 5 or 6 hours for some reason. But hey, people complain about baseball being too long, and yet MMA is far longer, but not the way I watch it, Dan. Don't watch it live. That's the key.
Yeah, I'm still a sucker for watching it live.
I tend to catch up at a few points during the fight, and then I can jump into our SGPN Slack channel and talk, and then I jump back out and I let it build up some more so I can skip all the inane studio talking and all that jazz and the stupid promo videos and all that stuff. So anyhow, hopefully people don't do that in our podcast, jump right through to our recommended plays, because I kill it on the normal plays, even though I was in it. I'm not doing as quite as well as I was at the start of the year. I am still plus money, picking every fight. Where this event will take us over 200 fights for 2022. So let's get into it. UFC Apex once again, as per usual. And then next week they are going dark. So we're gonna have to get creative on this here podcast next week. But we'll start with women's strawweights. This may be the fight that I don't want to pick either person in. Was this the one you were thinking of, Dan?
No, I have a pretty strong feeling about this one.
Yeah, I do too, but it's maybe this wasn't the one. But anyhow, we got Sam Hughes versus Elise Reed. So Sam Page is back after her first UFC win versus Elise Reed, and she is the underdog. So let's tell you about Sam Hughes first. The Sam Page, 6-4.
It's one knockout.
I know, especially if you put the in front of it, it sounds even better. The Sam Page would be even better. But yes. I've used this nickname multiple times, I think, on this podcast, but not this week. There's one that I enjoyed more. Iron Turtle. All right. Sam Hughes, 6-4, one knockout, 3 submissions. So she, quite a few finishes for women's strawweight. She's been knocked out once, submitted once, 1-3 in the UFC, lost her first 3. They gave her another kick at the can, and she came through, saved her job more than likely by winning her last fight. She used to fight up two weight classes at bantamweight. Used to fight up one weight class at flyweight. She's 2 inches taller than Reed. Got an inch of reach on her. Grappling stats in her favor, plus 145. Elise Reed, 5-1 with two knockouts. She's been knocked out once in her career. She's 1-1 in the UFC. Won her last fight. She was 1-0 in Bellator. She was the CFFC champion. Striking stats in her favor, minus 175. Over to you.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Elise Reed here.
As am I, yes.
Yeah. Like, I know at first you were like, I don't pick anybody.
No, no, like, this is not the fight. This is not the fight now that I look at it. No.
Yeah. No, like, Elise Reed is clearly the pick here. You know, like, say what you want about Sam Hughes. She did have a gritty performance that made her look a little bit better last fight. She absolutely poured it on at the end of the fight. But she did lose at least the first round, depending on who's asking, maybe the second round against Estela Nunes. She got outstruck by Luana Pinheiro. And I know that Elise Reed got a bad rap in the UFC because she came out and got absolutely just demolished by Sajara Eubanks. But let's call a spade a spade. Like, she does not belong at flyweight, which is why she's back at strawweight after all of this. And if you look at her strawweight record, like, it is really impressive. Like, first of all, a win over Corey McKenna, which, by the way, it goes down as a split decision. Wasn't a split decision. She absolutely peppered Corey McKenna on the feet for at least two of those rounds. She clearly won 29-28. I don't know what the judge who gave Corey McKenna 30-27 was smoking, but, like, there's no way Corey McKenna wins more than one round in that fight. So she, like, comes out and outstrikes Corey McKenna. She stuffs most of her takedowns. But, like, her other wins on the regional circuit, too, she also beat Jasmine Jesuda-Vicius, who we're talking about being, like, a real player at flyweight right now. Like, she looks so good in her debut. She also beat Jillian DeCourcy, which, if you watched Invicta this past Wednesday, came through with an absolutely brutal knockout of Lindsey Vanzant, who is also a good fighter. She also beat Hillary Rose, who was on Contender Series. She knocked her out with elbows. Like, Elise Reed has some legitimate striking. She looks really good doing it. And so far, her only loss is kind of getting out-muscled by somebody who is a weight class heavier than her, and really two weight classes heavier than her, right? Because Sajara Eubanks misses weight at flyweight regularly and has fought at bantamweight a bunch. So, like, when she's fighting strawweights at strawweight, like, Elise Reed's hands and her takedown defense have held up enough for her to beat some very legitimate fighters. So, yeah, like, I'm all in on her here against Sam Hughes, because the other thing, too, is I think Sam Hughes is kind of like, either I can bully you or I lose a fight. And I'm not sure she can bully Elise Reed.
Yep. No, I'm taking Elise Reed as well. Yeah, this wasn't the fight. This is not the droids I'm looking for. This is not the one. Okay. Middle. I was thinking about not following Middle Easy, but then this headline just came through. One-armed fighter wins against two opponents and knocks one out cold. So I think I have to keep following them for stuff like that.
I still like Middle Easy mostly.
It used to be funny, but it's...
I'll say they're just like... If you're looking for serious MMA news, they're not there for that. But, like, you gotta have that in your feed a little bit, like stuff you don't really need to know.
Yeah, one arm fighters beating up two people, and this was at the same time. This must be one of those circus.
And it wasn't Nick Newell.
No, it wasn't Nick Newell.
Oh, cool. Okay.
There's another one, Alexander somebody. All right, this has nothing to do with Hughes or Reed or anything we were talking about, but that's why people love us, because you never know where this train is headed. Dan, choo choo. Have I heard the train reference recently?
Yeah, he makes sure he includes it in every single episode.
Okay, I thought so, but I never know. I've listened to so many, Dan. They're all just a blur now. All right, except for the ones I was on. I don't listen to those. All right, featherweights. Felipe Colares versus Chase Hooper. Hooper is now the dream. No longer the teenage dream. He's a big, strapping, 22 now? Is that right? 21? Yeah. Something like that, right? He's still a little boy. Colares is Cabo Cao, which no one seems to know what it means. Do you know what it means?
Cabo Cao? Nope, I don't. Not off the top of
my head. Just leave it a mystery then. All right, Chase Hooper first. 10-2-1. Three knockouts, five submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 2-2 in the UFC. He's gone win-loss over his career. Last fight was a loss, and it was back in June of 2021. So it's almost been a year out of the cage for him. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. That's how he actually... No, I was going to say that's how he got into the UFC, but it wasn't, right? They made him fight some more before they signed him, right?
Yeah, they made him go fight for, I want to say CFFC, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right, yeah. Which is good, which means he entered with a better contract than Contender Series. So.
True that.
All right, he used to fight at lightweight. He was a regional champ. He was a grappling champ. He's got 5 inches of height. Listen to the flies here. 5 inches of height, 5 inches of reach, 5 years younger than Kolaris. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. You probably wouldn't guess that. You'd think it would be all grappling in his favor, but no, striking. Plus 145. Kolaris, Cabo KO, whatever that is. 10-3, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. Never been finished in a fight as well. So you may want to go, if you're picking this one, you may want to go decision. If you want a prop. 2-3 in the UFC, and he's the pattern guy too. Loss, win, loss, win, loss. So I guess the pattern's going to break this week unless they both somehow lose their fight. The patterns are going to break this week. Actually, no, they're not. One of their patterns is going to break this week. The other one will keep their streak going. He last fought October 2021, so not, heck, why did I put that down? I think I'm getting my years mixed up here, Dan, because that's not that long ago. Anyhow, he used to fight at 135. So he fought down a weight class, and Hooper fought up a weight class from this one. So I told you Hooper's bigger. So you would guess he's bigger, and he is. He was the jungle champ back in Brazil, minus 135 for Kolaris. I'm going to go underdog here. I'm not really positive that Hooper is legit UFC like caliber fighter, but I'm taking him here. Obviously the youth, the size, should be able to hold his own in the grappling and better striking stats at least. So I'll take some plus money here at plus 145, unless Dan tries to persuade me otherwise.
No, I'm gonna tail along with you. I like Chase Hooper here as well. I would say here's the thing, and the reason I like Chase Hooper more than anything is, so you know, the loss to Steven Peterson was not a good one. He looked a little bit rough in that fight, mostly because he just couldn't get it to the ground.
Yeah.
The thing I like the best about this fight for Chase Hooper is, first of all, Felipe Kolaris has been taken down plenty of times in his career. In fact, he's been taken down a lot of times in his career. I think he's only got like 40% takedown defense or something like that. The other thing I will say is I love that Chase Hooper took time off. I love how much time he took off, because like, if you go back to that fight with Peterson, which now is damn near a year away, right? Like he took like 11 months off.
June. Yeah.
And like he was fighting every like 5 or 6 months all the time. And now he's taken a whole year off. And like in those other fights, he wasn't getting way better, right? Like he was out grappling people who couldn't grapple, people like Daniel Tamer and Peter Barrett. And then when he fought long strikers who could stuff his takedowns, he lost. So, like, I believe he, like, finally was like, look, I can't keep rushing into another fight camp. I've got to work on the technical aspects of things. You know, he did a grappling contest. He fought Hinato Moicano in that grappling contest. And, like, it seems like he went back to the drawing board a little bit. Now, of course, this is all speculation, and we can't really say too much about it. But the bottom line is, I really do believe in the kid's grappling. And Felipe Kolaris is not, like, a world beater that makes me, you know, like worry all that much about him. So yeah, you're right. Plus money here is very enticing. I like Chase Hooper.
If you had him on your damn podcast, Dan, you could have these definitive answers, right?
I've had him on before.
No, you should have had him on this time and said, yo, what were you doing during your year off other than being funny on Twitter?
He is funny.
Yep. He's a fun dude. That dream. All right. We are on the same page. Two fights in. Let's go. Check out the third fight. We're going down a weight class, bantamweight. Vince Morales versus Jonathan Martinez. We're starting a spoiler alert. We're starting a two fight string of me fading the Moraleses. it's a Morales fading streak coming up. All right. We'll tell you about this Morales first. Vince Vendetta Morales versus Jonathan the Dragon Martinez. So he obviously asked Ricky Steamboat first if he could have the nickname, and Ricky Steamboat allowed him to take it. So, all right. Vendetta Morales is 11-5, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, 3-3 in the UFC. He's won 2 in a row, last one via knockout. He was 0-1 in the Contender Series, 2-0 in Bellator, used to fight up at featherweight. He was the FSF champ, plus 175 on him. The Dragon, the Martinez, 15-4, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He's 6-3 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight as well. Used to fight at featherweight. Used to fight at flyweight. Now he's fighting right in the middle. He was the XFL champion twice, I think, in two weight classes. If I remember correctly, he's an inch taller than Morales, 4 years younger, striking and grappling stats in his favor, as are the odds, minus 215.
Yeah, I like Jonathan Martinez. I just think he's...
As do I.
Yeah, bottom line, he's just a better striker. There's not really much to say about this fight outside of that. Like, and I don't really feel like rushing through it. But, like, the bottom line is Jonathan Martinez is a lot like his teammate, Chris Gutierrez. Right? Like, they have a lot in common. They throw a high number of strikes. They look to stuff takedowns. They do a pretty damn good job of stuffing takedowns. Like, him and Chris Gutierrez are both very typical Factory X Muay Thai guys. And Vince Morales' last loss is, get this, to Chris Gutierrez. So, and before that, he had lost to Benito Lopez, who, while is a Team Alpha Male guy, like, doesn't fight unlike a Factory X guy, where he picks apart the legs and mixes in the occasional takedown just to keep you guessing. Like, I like Jonathan Martinez here. I think he just does all the things Vince Morales does slightly better, slightly faster. I'm going to go with him in this one.
And I'm fading the Morales's. So, ditto whatever, everything, not whatever. I did pay attention to everything Dan said there. So, all right, for my second fade, lightweights, Omar Morales versus Uros Medic. Medic is, of course, the doctor, because his last name is spelt like medic. Not quite as funny because it's really pronounced Medic, but nonetheless. The doctor is 7-1 with 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, so everything's a finish for him, and his one loss has come via sub, so he's never gone the distance in a fight. He's 1-1 in the UFC. Last fight, he did get subbed and lost. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. Used to fight at welterweight. This is that lightweight. He's got 2 inches of height on Morales. He's 8 years younger, 3 times more active landing strikes, plus 128. Morales is 11-2, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been subbed once. 3-2 in the UFC. He's got loss, win, loss. He got submitted to his last fight as well. 1-0 in the Contender Series as well. Used to fight down at featherweight. 1-0 in Bellator. Made his pro debut in 2011. 2 inches of reach, minus 155. As I said before, I am fading the Morales for no reason in particular, but just a coincidence. I don't really know why Medic is the underdog here. Maybe Dan can explain it, but I'll take the younger, bigger, more active striking finisher, nonstop finishing fighter in any day of the week, especially for plus 128. So I will be taking the doctor here.
I'm guessing he's probably the underdog in that, like, he didn't look good in his last fight. But to be fair, he didn't look good against Jalen Turner, who's a fucking animal lately. You know, like, Jalen Turner is on a run and a half.
He's actually in a snake or arachnid. Sorry.
Tarantula.
Yeah, tarantula. Right.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, I'm going with Medic as well. I'm on the same page as you on this one. I'm a little bit worried if I were a Omar Morales guy, like, I'd be a little bit worried with the fact that, like, he doesn't get better as the fight goes. In fact, it's probably the opposite, right? Like, that Jonathan Pierce fight, like, when it got to the second round, it was all Pierce. Like, and there were no signs that Morales was going to get in that fight. And Medic is a guy who's dangerous. Like you said, from first bell to last bell, he can put your lights out. And if Morales fades at all, even in, I mean, it could be late second round, early third round, I would go with Medic. But, like, also, he's faded earlier than that. And for me, Medic is dangerous enough that I wouldn't mess with that. So, yeah, like, I like underdog money here again, too. We're on the same page for the first four.
I guess that's good. I was hoping I could sneak by an underdog on you, but hey, I guess it's good that we're both on the same page here. We're probably right. So, all right, 2 more fights on the prelims, and we'll get back to the ad reads, which I'm sure everyone's waiting for, right? Middleweights, some guy named Joseph Holmes is listed, but really it's Ugly Man Joe fighting, so I don't know who Joseph Holmes is, but we got Ugly Man Joe versus Alan Amadovsky. What can I tell you? Let's tell you about Amadovsky first. He's 8-2 with 8 knockouts. So everything's finished for him, and he's been knocked out once. So he's gone to decision once in his career. So according to my math, he's 0-2 in the UFC. Got knocked out his last fight. That was way back in September of 2019. Do you know what's up with this? Do you know, have any stories behind this, Dan? This long delay?
I am I have no clue about where Alan Amendovsky's been. I try not to wildly speculate all that much, but isn't he from Macedonia, which I don't know what's been going on with them through coronavirus and getting visas and stuff like that. But I imagine travel might be part of it.
Maybe, but did you really think much about Alan Amendovsky while he was gone, Dan? Probably not, right?
I can assure you I thought about him 0 times.
0.0 times. So, all right. Anyhow, he's back, everyone, if you missed him. He's 2-0. He was 2-0 in Bellator. He made his pro debut in 2012. So he's had 10 fights in a decade. Plus 160 coming back on him. Ugly Man Joe, 7-2, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. So everything is a finish. And he himself has never been finished in his career. He's 0-1 in the UFC. Was that a short notice fight or not?
Am I thinking wrong?
Who did he fight in his debut? I can't remember. Ugly Man.
Ugly Man Joe fought. He fought.
Wow, Dan doesn't remember either. Holy moly.
Oh, no, it's JB Pickett, the Lone Wolf.
Okay. Right, okay.
I remember it was somebody I don't particularly love, but I wanted to say Jordan Wright, and I was not right.
Oh, you always want to say Jordan Wright. Anyhow. He lost his UFC debut. He won his contender series fight. He was 1-1 Bellator. Listen to these numbers. 6 inches taller, 6 inches of reach, 7 years younger. Striking stats in his favor. Plus, he's 5 times more active landing strikes in his 2 fights under the UFC umbrella, Zuffa umbrella. Grappling stats also in his favor, minus 195. Everything is in Ugly Man Joe's favor. So obviously, I'm taking Ugly Man Joe here.
Yeah, I'm taking Ugly Man Joe tier two, but mostly just because, like, man, what the fuck is Alan Amendovsky still doing in the UFC at 0-2? Yeah. And I now am looking there. He's withdrawn from 2 fights with injuries, and he was removed from a 3rd with COVID protocols. So he's actually been booked 3 times since his last fight. I'll also just say this. I'm a believer in Ugly Man Joe. Like, I thought he looked good on Contender Series. I thought he looked good on Looking for a Fight. And yeah, he didn't look good in his debut, but I'm not ready to just be like, oh, this guy sucks. And like a lot of people have. Like, I even saw in the Slack, somebody was like, how bad is this Amendovsky guy if Ugly Man Joe's our favorite?
Yes, I saw
favorite.
That, yeah.
And like, was it Drendine or...
Oh, you're calling him out by name.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't mean to call him out, but I'm just saying, like... At the bottom line here is I don't think Ugly Man Joe's that bad. Like, did he gas a little bit against Jamie Pickett? Yeah. And if you listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast, you'll hear about how he's got a new strength and conditioning program. And it's been working out a little bit better. But do I feel great about picking him at negative 190? No, probably not. Because, like, again, if he didn't come around on that cardio, like, I won't look real smart. But at the end of the day, Alan Amendovsky, what is this guy? He lost to John Phillips and has been gone for 3 years. So, of course, I'm picking Ugly Man Joe.
Yeah, this is, I was going to say as much of a fade as it is a pick, but no, it's probably more of a pick for Ugly Man Joe, but it is also a fade at the same time. On Amendovsky, who's totally just got slandered by us through that. That was fun. Sorry.
Do you know he looks like a poor man's Marlon Moraes?
Yeah, I do have one issue with Ugly Man Joe. He's not ugly, and he has lots of children. So obviously, other people don't find him ugly either.
If you listen to the Top Turtle of the podcast this week, you'll hear the story about why he grows the mustache he does.
Okay, well that's a good tease. That is worth listening in for.
There you go.
All right.
Now.
Yep, it's true. All right, last fight on the prelims, and boy, what a fight it is. Heavyweights, Gelatin Almeida, a.k.a. Gelatin Jr., a.k.a. Gelatin Mahadino, which means, it means piebald. What is piebald, Dan? I think we've
piebald, the word piebald means part albino. It's a term usually used for white-tailed deer.
Okay. You should, we probably went through this before, but anyhow, he's got a lot of names, Dan, a lot of aliases. He's fighting against Peter Parker Porter, whose first name really isn't Peter, but I gave him that nickname. So, all right, this is at heavyweight. We'll tell you about Parker Porter first. 12-6, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. 3-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights. So it's, I know people may rag on Parker Porter, but, you know, no small feat winning 3 fights in a row, especially at heavyweight. So he's 3-1 in the UFC overall. He was a 1-1 Bellator. He was a realty. He was a realtor? No. Reality, how about? Reality FC, I think it might be. Anyhow, Reality Fighting Champ. Used to fight at light heavyweight, if you can believe that. And he also took up the sport to lose weight, if you can believe that also, Dan.
I can. I also know he made his pro debut in a strip club in Revere, Massachusetts.
Well, how do you know that, Dan?
I have talked to him numerous times about it.
Do you have like just personal talking to him? Or?
Oh, I actually have talked to him just personally before. Really? He trains at a gym not that far from me, and one of my training partners is like a guy who sometimes helps him out with fight camps.
you don't like have another podcast behind our back, do you?
Oh, I do too. Also,
oh no, God. Anyhow,
Do you know who his third fight was against? By the way,
was it no?
It was in 2008. If that helps.
I can't even tell you who his last fight was against. Oh, I think you told me. Was it against John Jones?
It was against John Jones. Yes. John Jones is like 19 and clearly not a heavyweight, and he still head kicked his head off.
It was at heavyweight. It wasn't at light heavyweight?
No, it was at heavyweight back then. Maybe it was at light heavyweight. But it was long enough ago where it was just cool that it was 2 5-minute rounds.
Oh, yeah? Wow. Hey, did you hear and see? John Jones is really jacked now, Dan.
I did see he is, you know, all clickbait article titles aside, he's massive, dude.
He is. Yep, he is. And you would think that would happen when you see he's got massive brothers in the NFL and he's like the runt in the family. You thought he could grow into that body a bit. So this isn't a John Jones podcast. This is a Parker Porter podcast currently. All right. What else can I tell you? He made his debut 2007. A year later, he fought John Jones, apparently. He's twice more active landing strikes than Almeida, based on Almeida's two fights under Zuffa or UFC or Dana White or whatever promotions that they were under. Plus 470 for Porter at heavyweight. All right. Almeida, who's moving up from light heavyweight because he wanted to stay active and his original opponent fell through. So they booked this fight about a month ago at heavyweight for him. He did used to fight at heavyweight before, though. He's 15-2, 6 knockouts, 5 submissions. So everything is a finish. He's been knocked out himself once. He was 1-0 in the UFC via TKO, 1-0 in the Contender Series via sub. Used to fight, like I said, mostly fights at light heavyweight. He's won 10 straight fights, was a regional champ, pro debut also, pro debut in 2012. 3 inches of height, 4 inches of reach, 6 years younger than Porter. Grappling stats in his favor, -650.
It's Jelton all day.
Obviously. He's one of our top prospects off of Dana White's Contender Series last season.
And I know some people are hesitant about him going up to heavyweight and fighting Porter because, like, he's a light heavyweight, but at the same time, he's a massive light heavyweight. He's ridiculously strong. He's got good grappling skills, good striking skills. Porter has got really technical striking and has shown that, like, that can play up at heavyweight, but just, like, not against a guy like Almeida. Props to him for stepping up and taking this fight when Almeida is supposed to fight Maxim Grishin. But I don't have really high hopes here for Parker Porter. And he's a guy who I love to watch fight and I'm a big fan of. And I like him as a person. I just think this is an awful matchup for him.
Oh, you talked to him before?
A couple of times. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're talking about how he's a big light heavyweight. He's bigger. He's 3 inches taller and 4 inches reach on Porter, who is a heavyweight. So there you go. All right. Do we agree in every fight? We did agree.
We did.
In every fight.
So no disagreements on the prelims at
mom
all.
And dad are getting along again. All right. We got the main card coming through first. Let me tell you about our last but not least, couple sponsors. Athletic Greens. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff you may be asking? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All of those things cost less than $3 a day. If you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery. And Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. I wish we did. Come on, people, get reviewing our podcast. To make it easy with Athletic Greens, it's going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional habit. And while you're online grabbing this thing from Athletic Greens slash SGP, make sure you're using IPVanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means all your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Okie dokie, main card. We decided it was going to be 7 p.m. Eastern because we decide these things, and it's going to be on ESPN Plus. And it's only 5 fights, so we're not going to be here all night, which watching the card, which is always nice. Because you know the main event's going to go 5 rounds. Women's strawweight, Pollyanna Viana versus Tabitha Ricci. We got Baby Shark, Dan. You going to sing it for us?
I am not.
Perfect. Baby Shark is Ricci. Dama de Ferro is Viana, which translates to... copy of someone else's nickname.
Dama de Ferro?
Yeah.
Is it Dame of Fire? No.
Iron Lady. Close.
Oh.
Which is, you know, Jermaine Duranami. Isn't she, like, remember her? She used to
play.
Yeah. Somebody, right?
Yeah. And so is Marina Mraz.
Right. It's true. Wow. They should have a three-way fight and see who gets the nickname. All right. We'll tell you about Viana here. She's 12-4, 4 knockouts, 8 submissions. So everything is a finish for her, which is very impressive at women's strawweight. She's been subbed once. She's 3-3 in the UFC. However, she's won 2 straight fights via submission. She last fought February of 2021. She was a jungle fight champ, used to fight up at flyweight. She's got 4 inches height, 6 inches reach on Ricci. Striking and grappling stats in her favor, plus 100. Ricci, Baby Shark, 6-1, 1 knockout, 2 submissions. She's been knocked out once, 1-1 in the UFC, won her last fight, 3 years younger, minus 120. Believe it's me, I'll take more underdog money, please. Thank you. Viana on plus money. Bigger, you know, like that. Bigger, longer, plus better striking and grappling. And she finishes fights, every fight. So I'll definitely take a stab at a plus 100 dog with that resume. So give me the Iron Lady.
This is going to be our first difference. I'm going to take Tabitha Ricci here. I hear the argument that Pollyanna Viana finishes fights, right? But how does she finish all of her fights? She finishes them with submission, right? She's up against somebody who has been doing judo since she was 3 years old and has a black belt in judo.
How do you know this?
What? Oh, she may or may not be on the Tough Turtle MMA podcast.
Oh, God.
But also, I know that because her dad is a judo champion, world champion. So, like, she comes from a judo background and then turned around and had decided she cared more about jiu-jitsu than she did about judo, to her dad's chagrin. Got her black belt in jiu-jitsu, and she's nasty there too. Like, she is I believe a better grappler than Pollyanna Viana. So, like, now we're saying, yes, Pollyanna Viana is a fun pick because she's better at finishing. But if you take away the ability to finish in the grappling, she's not a good wrestler and she's an awful striker. Like, the bottom line, she's not a good striker and she is not good at wrestling. So both of her most recent wins have come when she was taken down and she picked up arm bars. I think Tabitha Ricci could take her down if she wanted to and just avoid the arm bars, because I think Ricci is smarter than that and a better grappler than that. And I will also say this. I think Ricci can just decide that this fight doesn't go to the ground and wins it on the feet. Because, like you said, you know, Ricci does have one loss, and it was by TKO. It was also to Manon Firo. Like, you know, say what you want about that.
Our favorite.
Tabitha Ricci is a very small strawweight, as you just mentioned. You know, like, she's at a reach disadvantage and a height disadvantage. She probably could make Adam weight, but instead she fought up on short notice against Manon Firo. So, like, yeah, we can just write that fight off and say, like, that she had no business being in that fight in the first place. I don't think Viana subs her here. I don't think Viana can beat her on the feet. I think Viana winds up on her back looking for those arm bars for 15 minutes and losing a decision.
All right. Remember, Dan is better at breaking down fights. I'm better at picking winners. So just remember that, kids. Mommy and Dad, you're fighting again. But this is good. This will make at least a little interesting come Saturday. We have at least one fight that we can bicker on. All right. Middleweights. Eric, ya boy. Anders. I should have called myself ya boy, but nonetheless, versus Jun Young Park, the Iron Turtle. I took that nickname instead because it's a quality nickname. So we got back-to-back Iron fighters here. Will Jeff pick both Iron? Let's see. Yeah, boy, breakdown. Yeah, boy, Anders first. He's 14-6-1 with one no contest, 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked at once, submitted once. So he's been very durable, especially up at these heavier weight classes he fights at. He's 6-6 with one no contest in the UFC. He's 1-2 with one no contest over his last 4. He got subbed in his last fight. Used to fight at light heavyweight. He kind of bounced back and forth. Light heavyweight and middleweight normally. He was the Alpha champ. He was 1-0 in Bellator. He also was a college football champion at Alabama. He's got 3 inches of height, 2 inches of reach on Park, plus 175. The Iron Turtle, Park, 13-5, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted twice. 3-2 in the UFC. Got knocked out his last fight. He was the Yawara champ before this. He used to fight down at welterweight. So we basically have a former welterweight versus a former light heavyweight here. 4 years younger than Anders, striking stats in his favor. He's 1.5 times more active landing strikes, grappling stats as well in his favor, minus 215. Over to you.
I'm taking Jung Young Park. I like Eric Anders, and I think he's like sometimes fun and explosive on the feet. But like Jung Young Park has looked really good in literally every fight he's been in the UFC, including the one he lost to Gregory Rodriguez. I love the way he just kind of like manhandled Tefan Chukwi and he took down John Phillips repeatedly. Like, I don't see a real good path to Eric Anders here for victory because, like, I don't know. Does Eric Anders like knock people out anymore? Like, not since he knocked out Vinicius Moreira. So, like, and in addition to that, too, like, Jung Young Park, even if he can can't hang on the feet. Like, Eric Anders got taken down a bunch of times by Darren Stewart, who we largely think of as, like, a British boxer. So, like, yeah, I'm all over Jung Young Park here.
Eric Anders actually is not a good striker. We should really just put that out there. He gets outstruck. He lands 3.16. He gets hit 3.93 times. So
he's a, can we say powerful striker?
I guess we can say that, but he, let me see. Yeah, 8 knockouts. I guess you can say that, but yeah. Doesn't land enough for my liking. So yeah, Park is my pick here. He's durable. I'll give Anders that. So you may want to go decision on this one, but I believe the Korean is the correct pick to go. So Dan and I we're about together. Reconciliation over the Iron Turtle brought us back together here. Minus 215 is that pick. All right. What are we going to next? Middleweight still. Dusko Todorovic versus Chidi Enchukwuani, another one of our stars from the Dana White last season, the Dana White Contender Series. It may go down in history as the greatest season ever of Dana White Contender Series, even though a new one is coming. Did you see that, Dan, in July?
I did. I'm already looking at prospects. So.
Oh boy. Dan was like out of control last year. If you weren't around for that, you missed out on a lot of winnings. Dan was going like 4-5 every week, basically. With your picks.
Literally one.
Literally.
Loss
every
week.
Anyhow. This isn't a Contender Series podcast at this point, but it will be very, very soon. So, all right, we got Chidi Bang Bang. It should be Chidi Bang Bang, if you ask me, versus Thunder Todorovic. Let's tell you about Thunder first. He is 11-2, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 2-2 in the UFC, won his last fight via TKO. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He was the FBC champ in, I think that's Serbia Fighting Championship. Or whatever the B stands for. He's 6 years younger than Enchukwuani. Striking stats in his favor, plus 185. Chidi, 21-7 with one no contest, 13 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times. 1-0 in the UFC via knockout, 1-0 in the Contender Series via TKO. He's won 3 straight. He went 5-3 in Bellator. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Perfect. Used to fight at welterweight. Despite that, he is 2 inches taller and has 6 inches reach on Todorovic. He's 1.5 times more active landing strikes, better grappling stats, minus 200. Obviously, I am going Chidi here, superior striker, and he's got half a foot of reach to use his striking skills used to his advantage. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get ourselves another finish for him here.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. I'm going with Chidi and Jikawani. I think the range, the power, the striking, all of that. I mean, it's obvious to me. I will say this, though. You mentioned the SBC championship. That is Serbian battle championships, first of all, which I only know because do you know who he beat and knocked out for that title?
You tell me.
Michelle Pereira, who we
which
are
is,
about
I was going to guess that because he was the champ as well. Perfect. All right. We both picked Chidi, right? Yes, we did. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Moving on. Obviously, that was maybe a recommended play coming up. We'll have to wait and see. Walter Waite, Santiago Ponzinibbio versus the aforementioned SBC champion, Michelle Pereira. So we got Ponzinibbio is the Argentine dagger or gente boa, which means good people, versus Demolidor, which means demolisher. Which is a very good nickname for Pereira. Let's tell you about Ponzinibbio, the veteran first. 28-5, 15 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. He's 10-4 in the UFC. He's gotten loss, win, loss. He was 4-0 in the Ultimate Fighter. Made his MMA debut as a professional in 2008. Even money back on him, plus 100. Pereira, 27-11, 2 no contests, 10 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. He's 5-2 in the UFC. However, he's won 4 straight fights. He's had issues missing weight in the past at welterweight. He used to fight up at middleweight. He was the SBC champ, as we mentioned. Dan let you know who beat him for that belt. He made his pro debut in 2011 in MMA. He's got an inch of height on Ponzinibbio. He's 7 years younger. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 120. Me. Is it me or
no,
you?
No, it's me.
Go ahead, then.
You took Chidi first. I'll take Ponzinibbio.
Really? Okay, yeah, we're going to differ.
Yeah, so here's the thing, is that, I do like Michelle Pereira. He's looked better lately because he's safer, but, I don't know that the safer pick-em-apart game plan works against Santiago Ponzinibbio, does it? Ponzinibbio hits really hard. He's pretty technical in his own right, and, I think if Pereira brings the chaos, it might actually be a better game plan against Ponzinibbio, but I haven't seen him do that lately. And, for me, Santiago Ponzinibbio, since, coming back from that layoff, a lot of people are writing him off. He got knocked out by Li Jingliang, but, that fight with Jeff Neal was damn good. He took a round off of Jeff Neal, and maybe two by some judges' estimates, that he took 2 rounds off of Jeff Neal. He absolutely dominated Miguel Baeza. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's knocked out Neil Magny and Gunnar Nelson and Court McGee. And he beat the hell out of Sean Strickland back in the day. He is a very solid technical striker. And I think we sort of forget just how good he was because of that layoff. And Pereira, don't get me wrong, really good, really unique with the striking styles, but I think that safer version of him that we've seen lately is just not going to work against Ponzinibbio.
You said we forgot how good he was being the key here, Dan. I don't know what we're going to get with Ponzinibbio anymore. So you're picking him because he took a round off Jeff Neal.
All right. I think he took 2 rounds off of
Whoa,
Jeff Neal.
2 rounds.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that Pereira would take even a second off of Jeff Neal?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I haven't broken down that fight. I'm not prepared, Dan.
I don't think he would take half a second off of Jeff Neal. I think Jeff Neal would beat the ever-living shit out of Michelle Pereira.
Is this a Jeff Neal podcast now?
I like Jeff Neal.
It could be. I like how you got all mellow there.
Also, Sheer Dog scored that fight for Jeff Neal.
Just all right. Anyhow, I'm taking Pereira. If worst case scenario, he's an underrated grappler. People think of him as a crazy striking guy because that's what the highlights are, but I think he could always, if he wants to be boring, he could use his grappling to beat Ponzinibbio here, and I don't know if the Pons is what he once was. I like what we're seeing from Pereira recently, so give me the Pereira man, please.
Yeah, I would also just say, though, too, just as a friendly reminder, Ponzinibbio, fairly good defensive grappler, too, and he actually took down Jeff Neal in their last fight, too.
Neal.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Was Jeff Neal on your podcast before, Dan?
No.
Really?
No, way back when he was. Yeah. Okay, long ass time ago.
Before he was Jeff Neal, capital letters. All right, good. We differed again. Let's see if we differ in the main event. Have a feeling.
I have a feeling we won't.
I've heard no one's differed in this one so far. Women's bantamweight, Holly Yon Holm versus Ketlin Vieira. Actually, she's Holly the Preacher's daughter, Holm versus Phenomeno Vieira. Women's bantamweight, Vieira 12-2, two knockouts, four submissions, but knocked out once. She got 6-2 in the UFC. She got loss, win. Over her last four fights. She has missed weight in the past. She's got multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
Correct. They have mantles in Brazil, I assume. Of course, they have mantles everywhere. I'm just going to tell you about her. She's 10 years younger than Holm. Grappling stats in her favor, plus 185. Holly Holm, 14-5, eight knockouts. To her credit, she's been knocked out once, submitted once. She's 7-5 in the UFC. Used to be the champion. She beat that Ronda Rousey lady. She used to fight at featherweight. She's won two straight fights, three of four. She's just coming off her longest layoff ever in MMA. She's not fought since October of 2020. Last time she's finished the fight was 2017. So keep that in mind if you want to pick her here. You may want to pick her.
And worth noting that that was Betch Coea too.
Oh, yes. And it was. We talked about that last podcast. Yes. Quite the finish, let us say that. She also was the Legacy FC champ before this, won in Bellator. She was a boxing champion multiple times, over 32-2-3 as a boxer. She also was a kickboxing champion, made her MMA debut in 2011. She's got inch of reach on Vieira, striking stats in her favor, minus 230. I'm picking Holly Holm. She's going to win a boring fight. Better striker, knows how to win decision fights. Vieira hasn't shown that she can compete at this level. So Holm is going to win, probably get shoved into another title fight, which she'll lose. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I'll say this too. Like, if you're trying to draw a path to victory for Ketlin Vieira, it's like through the grappling, right? Like that's, right. You're saying she's going to grab, she's just never going to be close enough to Holly Holm to actually grapple.
Nope.
Because Holly Holm does two things really well. She keeps the distance really well. And when you're in the clinch with her, she reverses the position and backs away. So I just don't think Ketlin Vieira is ever going to be in position to actually be on top. If she is, maybe she'll see a little success. But I think Holm stays safe enough, even in those moments. And ultimately, I think it tires Ketlin Vieira out terribly, trying to just get inside and failing miserably. Yeah. And even if she's inside, like, just failing miserably because Holly Holm defends takedowns well. So, yeah, I'm all over Holly Holm on this one.
Yeah, despite the 10-year age difference, yeah, Holm is got to be the pick here. Vieira's like hasn't really beaten anyone at this level. She's beaten people who used to be, you know, close to this level, Sarah McMahon, Kat Zingano, Misha Tate, but not anyone who's really at this level any longer. So I don't expect Holm to look any worse than she has as of late. So yeah, she is her pick and probably a title fight, right?
I don't even know anymore at this point. I mean, like, at least women's bantamweight is like tied up, right?
Yep. That's true. That is true. All right. That's all your picks. We differed on a couple, which is always makes it a fun viewing experience and a fun time on the SGPN Slack come fight night/afternoon on Friday. All right. Saturday, excuse me. Let's go recommended plays, Dan. These should be our safe bets. Even though sometimes we get a little crazy with the props here. These are the bets that we say you should bet on, even though we suggest you bet on every fight, at least $100. If you're a wimp and you don't have the stomach for that, we'll tell you what ones you absolutely have to bet on. Starting with Dance, first pick.
So you mentioned sometimes we get a little crazy with props.
Uh-oh.
Listen to this. I'm only taking props this week.
Whoa. Yep. All right. This could be a make or break boon or bust week for you, Dan.
Yeah, so the first one I'm going to take is, you know, we just mentioned, I love Holly Holm here, and I love Holly Holm by decision. So Holly Holm by decision, I'm seeing at -110 at a lot of books, which is, a really, really good number, because that's probably how she's going to win. She's a big favorite. I'll take 40 on her at -110.
I am telling you that I was going to just take Holm, but outright, but with a number like that, this is the way she's going to win the fight. So I always claim I'm going to shy away from prop bets, but I'm willing to take them if it's, you know, if it's a pretty obvious path to victory, which it is here. So yeah, $40 for me too.
Well, speaking of obvious path to victory too, the next one I really like is Chidi Njikiwani by knockout. I mean, like, I think that's a no-brainer. Plus 120. I'm going to take $30 on Chidi and Jaquani getting it done with a knockout.
Wow, you're getting very... $30 on that. Dan is really rolling the dice this week, people, with your money. All right. I'm just going to take Chidi to win. I'm going to be... Yeah, I'm just going to be safe here. Give me 20 on Chidi to win at just outright winning at minus 200.
All right. And then my last one, because I'm going to use all 30 of my last $30 here on Jailton Almeida. A lot of people have him here winning by submission. And I think what a lot of people are sleeping on is Parker Porter has got good submission defense. I know we haven't had to see it in the UFC because he's mostly been on the feet, but he's a guy who defends submissions really well. He actually has quite a few submissions in his tool belt as well. So I'm going to take Jailton Almeida, but I'm going to say he gets it done by knockout. And right now you can get Jailton Almeida by knockout at certain books at plus 275. I think as long as the submissions don't work, he just unloads on him in a, you know, like a top mount or something like that. And plus 275 for that option. I'll take $30 on that.
That's a very good pick. I am trailing that as well. I'm only going to take 20 on that because I'm going to make another pick. But yeah, I see this as a very reasonable pick. I can definitely see the fight ending that way for sure with Jailton. All right. That leaves me with $20 left. What do I want to take with that? I'm going to take Matic, plus 128. Let's just take him winning inside the distance. So I'll kind of roll the dice there too. So you like that pick, Dan?
I do like that pick.
All right, cool. All right, here is our recommended plays. Dan's got 40 on home via decision, 30 on Chidi via knockout, 30 on Jailton via knockout. I have 40 on home via decision, 20 on Chidi just winning, 20 on Jailton via knockout, 20 on Matic winning plus 128. Boom. Usually we say we're done, but no, we're going to give you, as promised, a couple other picks for Eagle FC.
Do you want the Superman John?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's see if Dan can miss by one fight on the parlay like he does every week.
So I'm going to snag one. I'm going to snag your play with Earl Smedic.
Okay.
You know, I like that to start off the parlay, and then we're going to close here. Both of us picked Chase Hooper to win, right? Underdog play. Yep. But instead of taking him, let's just take him by submission, right? Because he's a guy who bags a bunch of submissions. Do you know you can get his submission price at plus 430 right now? So when you combine that with Uros Medic at his underdog price, we're talking about plus 1200 right now. So 12-1 on just Medic and Hooper inside the distance with a submission.
No wonder Dan didn't want me to just breeze past that. That is that's a quality play. Everyone get out on that. Just two picks. Medic to win, Hooper to win via sub, you get 12 times your money. Boom. All right, now we're going to get to the real main event, Dan. Eagle FC 48, Dos Santos versus Castro. Del Castro, excuse me. That is going down this Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It starts internet stream. I think you get it through Eagle FC if you go to their site. And it's coming to us from Miami, Florida. It's got 11 fights on it, mixture of a sprinkle of fighters you have heard of probably from UFC days gone by. We're just going to break down the top two fights. Co-main event, light heavyweight, Hector Lombard versus Thiago Silva. Two of those aforementioned former UFC fighters. Let's tell you about Mr. Lightning Lombard first. He's 34-10-1 with two no contests as a pro, 22 knockouts, four submissions. He's been knocked out three times. This is his Eagle FC debut. He's lost six straight fights. Has not fought since September 2018. His last win was March of 2014. So we're past 8 years since he's won a MMA fight. He was 3-8 with one no contest in the UFC. Didn't quite go as planned for the former Bellator champ, who was 8-0 with a middleweight championship to his name in Bellator. He also was a regional champ. He used to fight at welterweight, if you can believe that. And most of his career was at middleweight. Now he's all the way up to light heavyweight. Made his MMA debut as a professional in 2004. He also was the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship champion recently. He was 2-0 as a pro kickboxer. He is a judo champion, very high-level judoka, grappling stats in his favor, minus 110. As for Thiago Silva, he of the neck tie. It's a crown on his neck, I believe, his throat, right, Dan?
I can't tell you what his neck
which is
tattoo
where
is.
Which is what I would aim for. I'm like, okay, I'm going to aim for the crown on his throat. Like, it seems like you're putting a bullseye on yourself, but he's been known not to make the greatest life choices anyhow. But regardless, he's 21-9 with 2 no contests, 15 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. This is also his Eagle FC debut. He's lost 2 straight. He's won 1 of his last 4. He's not fought since May of 2019. His last win, the math doesn't add up here because I said his last win is October of 2019, but then I also said he has not fought since May of
2018.
2018 was his last win. Thank you.
Yeah.
He was ACB champ, 0-1 World Series of Fighting. In the UFC, he went 7-3 with 2 no contests. He's failed some drug tests in the past. He used to fight at heavyweight. Also used to fight at middleweight. Made his MMA debut in 2005. He's 1-0 as a kickboxer. He's got 5 inches height, 3 inches reach, 4 years younger than Lombard. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. Now, the stats I'm using are based on their both men's UFC careers. Minus 120. So this is pretty much a pick 'em on the board.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Hector Lombard.
Slight underdog?
For two reasons. First of all, the long layoff of Thiago Silva is a little bit worrisome, especially because there was like legal problems involved in that too. And the other thing is he's like gotten a little bit punchy, right? Like he's been knocked out a bunch, and maybe even by some people who probably shouldn't knock him out. He's also, I mean, very obviously at a grappling disadvantage, right? Like Hector Lombard is a really high class judoka, and he's got good sub skills, and he doesn't always go to it, but like it's there if he needs it. Whereas like Silva is a kickboxer, you know, like that, there's really nothing else to say about him. It's like he's always been a power puncher. But yeah, like I just think Lombard being more active and Lombard having the chance to knock Silva out as well as grapple him. Yeah, like I'm rolling the dice here with Hector Lombard.
How about Silva having a bullseye on his throat that you can punch? A crown.
I don't think it helps or hurts, but yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's break it down anyway.
All right, fine. All right. He's gonna get you some slight underdog money here. All right, go to the main event. Former champion of the UFC heavyweight division, Junior Dos Santos, will be fighting former UFC heavyweight Jorgen De Castro in the main event. Are they main event? No, they're not 5 rounds, right? They're already 3 rounds, I think.
Three rounds.
If it goes that long. All right. De Castro is the Mad Titan. He's 8-3 with 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once. He's 1-0 in Eagle FC. He won his first fight via submission. He's won 2 straight fights. In the UFC, he went 1-3. Contender Series, he went 1-0. He was a regional champ. He used to fight at light heavyweight. Based on the last weigh-ins, he was 15 pounds heavier than Dos Santos. He's also 2 years younger, plus 255. Junior Dos Santos, Cigano, which means... You know that one?
I actually don't know what Cigano means.
Gypsy. Apparently. Oh. It means gypsy, according to Google. Yeah. You think we would have, I guess we weren't doing our podcast when he was, were we doing our podcast when he was in the UFC? I don't think we were. Were we?
I don't think so.
It's been so long. Who knows? What did I tell you about him? He's 21-9. I haven't told you that yet. 15 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 7 times, submitted once. This is his Eagle FC debut. He's 15-8 in the UFC, where he was the heavyweight champ. He's lost 4 straight fights, all via TKO. Has not fought since December of 2020. His last win was December of 2019. Used to fight at light heavyweight at the starting of his career. 2006 was his pro debut in MMA. He's got 4 inches height, 3 inches reach on De Castro. Striking stats in his favor based on the UFC. And almost, he's almost, was almost twice as active striking, 1.8. More strikes landed than De Castro. Also grappling stats in his favor. Minus 330.
Yeah, I'm all over Junior Dos Santos here. For very obvious reasons. Like, he's just, like, I do like Jorgen De Castro. I think he's got a lot of promise. I think there's lots of things you could say about his striking, but the bottom line is he's a striker, right? Like, he's a guy who has to go in there and outstrike you. And, like, dude, he's not going out there and outstriking Junior Dos Santos. And the other problem I have with him is he has a tendency to become really tentative, right? Like, really hesitant in his striking. He pauses a lot. He sometimes doesn't engage. And, like, that just plays into Junior Dos Santos' hand, right? Junior Dos Santos being a guy who, like, knows how to deal with that. So, yeah, like, I would say unabashedly, I love Junior Dos Santos in this spot right here.
There you go. simple as that. Go get that money, even though it's not a super, super good line, -330. But Dan is picking them nonetheless. He gave you Lombard. That was a slight underdog. So come on, stop complaining. All right, that's enough free picks for these people. Don't you think? Let's put this one to bed. So we'll be back on when? Sunday? Let's come back on Sunday. We'll tell everyone how we did with our picks, and we'll plot out what we're going to do next week with no UFC. What is running next week? Do you know off the top of your head?
There's tons of events going on. There's a really good Canadian event. There's a Cage Warriors. There's an LFA. There's lots of stuff going on.
And we can bet on all this stuff, Dan?
Probably some of it.
Legally, some of it? Okay. We'll figure it out. So, all right, come back on Sunday for that fun. In the meantime, Dan has podcasts, if you haven't heard. One of them's called Top Turtle MMA, who this week he has on...
Ugly Man Joe, talking about his mustache, and then Tabitha Ricci is also on this week.
Does she talk about any body hair at all or not?
She actually did not this time.
Not this time. Okay. You call him Ugly Man Joe when you speak with him.
I do. Yeah, I actually.
He doesn't want to be called anything else, right?
Yeah, he said that. That's just what he goes by. Just Ugly Man Joe.
All right. Did we get to the bottom of that name?
Yeah. I don't know if we did. I know it personally, that he, it was like a thing he used when he was like in college with his buddies. He described it as like, you know how you like say demeaning things to your friends and you tell them they're like assholes or something like that. It was just like the generic term him and his buddies used, that they were all ugly men. So they would just say like, "What's up, ugly man Bill?"
Okay, right. I think I remember
ugly man Joe, and his just stuck.
I think that may have been on your show because I know that story. So I think it may have been on that Top Turtle show before. He might have told that story. Other than that, he also has a Prelim Primer podcast where he gives you all the prelim picks. Are you gonna have a guest this week so I can listen? I listen anyway, Dan.
You know, I had one scheduled, and due to unforeseen issues with my kitchen sink, quite literally my kitchen sink, it has had to be rescheduled, and I am not quite sure yet whether or not that co-host can join in.
Oh crap, he's gonna ask me again, isn't he? Oh god. My sink's clogged too, Dan. Okay. Yeah, Mr. Handyman Dan can't even fix his kitchen sink. Can you believe that, everyone?
I'm a shell of a man this week.
His house is a disaster because he's torn it apart, right?
I have torn quite a few things apart today, yes.
What is in the sink? Have we discovered what is clogging the sink?
I have not yet. We are looking to get to the bottom of it later this week. You can get +180 odds on bacon grease right now.
Okay.
Or -300 odds on one of my children's toys.
Perfect. I was going to ask you, are your children both accounted for?
Yeah,
or
they're
could
both.
They be in the sink looking for something?
It's both not them, but their toys are definitely in play. So, you know, make sure you get into the SGPN Slack and you bet either children's toys -300 or excessive bacon grease +180.
Can bacon, you said? Bacon grease or bacon?
Bacon.
Okay, gotcha. What if I want to put we're supposed to be saying bye, but I want to prop bet on a Spider-Man toy. Can I do that?
Okay. Yeah, because that makes it slightly harder. So a toy in general is -300. So I'd say a Spider-Man toy +100.
Aren't most of the toys Spider-Man toys at this point, though?
It's about 50-50.
But they would notice it was missing, though, probably, right? So maybe
that's why you're getting +100. Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's not a good bet. All right. Well, we'll see. What we shall see. Hopefully, we'll find out next podcast. Hopefully, Dan will have it fixed by Sunday. You think he promises that?
I'm going to fucking try.
Right. You guys are going to stop eating bacon because meat is murder and it clogs your sink?
And I will make no promises on that front.
All right. Fine. All right. We'll be back Sunday, like I said, with the thrilling conclusion, hopefully, of the. Of the kitchen sink gate scandal. We'll break down obviously the fights from the weekend. We'll look ahead to whatever we're going to talk about next week, you know, all that fun stuff. In the meantime, make sure you get in our SGPN Slack. We get new people in there all the time, usually praising us, which is always nice. So get in the Slack. There's channels for every sport. There's channels for food. There's channels for music. There's, and it's basically all good people on there. No one ever gets kicked out because no one ever acts like most people act on the internet. So good place to get in. And then Fight Night, the place is jumping. The fight channel is jumping with everyone giving each other suggestions on picks. And did you see the one joker went in there and said, "What pod are you guys talking about?" Did you see that? What a slap in the face that was.
I did not.
Some dude went in there and said, "What podcast are you guys talking about?"
Oh, like, no, I did see that.
I was like, what?
I'm pretty sure I responded to him. Like, the only MMA podcast on this site. Wait,
you're on the SGPN Slack channel. We're talking about fights. That's not like a new guy either. He's been all over the different channels, but he's like, "What podcast are you guys talking about?" Duh. The one and only, obviously. Anyhow, get in the Slack. If you could rate and review our podcast, that would be great. So we can get 1 billion 5-star reviews. Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer, he is Gumby Vreeland. Usually it's my intros that drag on, but today's the outro for some reason. Reader stuff, my MMA stuff is over at moneymma.substack.com. I got a free pick'em contest for this week. You can get in and a bunch of other good articles, previews of the event coming up. Fighter rankings based on performance, all obviously Money MMA. There's a whole bunch of fighter pay stuff on there. Lots of that fun stuff. So get on that. Dan's podcast that I told you about, and you can read all the writing over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com on various sports. My MMA article will be going up Thursday morning. I think that's it. I'm tired of talking. So Dan's going to take us home. We'll see what he always has a nickname planned for me. We'll see what he has in the chamber this time.
I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He's the preacher's daughter, Jeff Fox.
Perfect.
And we will see you on Sunday.